as we do each and every Monday morning here on TSN 1200. Head coach Paul Lapolis to the show. Good morning, Coach. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. We don't have a game to talk about from the weekend, so we can only talk about your new players. And so let's get some timetables from you first of all. And let's start with the highest profile guy that was signed last week, and that was quarterback Duck Hodges. Kind of give us the 411 on if he's arrived in town and when you'll be able to get him at practice and when you hope to maybe be able to get him into a game.
Duck is, I talked to him last night. He's in the city, he's in his quarantine. So he's got a quarantine for 7 days. And then we'll get him out of quarantine and get him on the practice field and get him sorted out. I get he played in the NFL and, you know, like he's had some opportunities, but we just got to make sure we lower expectations and that, like, he's not going to start when he shows up the first day. Like, he's a good young player that we've had, the personnel department's had their eye on for a long time, and he's had a great college career and, was fortunate to get some NFL playing time. So somebody want to get in the building, start teaching our systems and our offense.
Coach, the first thing I loved hearing is he wants to be here, which is so important. But in your experience, what are the biggest obstacles for quarterbacks to overcome coming up from the U.S.?
I guess one big thing that a lot of people always don't understand about our league, or when somebody sends me a player, I guess they don't understand the fact that you throw the ball up here so much. It's usually 70-30 or, 65-35 throws to run. So you have to have a guy who's very accurate as a thrower. So if you have somebody, like, a lot of times people say, hey, there's a kid, he's pretty athletic, he can run around on your big field, but, he's not the best thrower. Well, that's great, he can run around on our field, but you got to throw it, almost 70% of the time. So that's, I think, the biggest obstacle for guys. They got to be accurate, and a lot of times guys come up and just don't have the accuracy.
And his college numbers in terms of accuracy were very good. 2 years, 4 years as a starter, 2 years well above 60%, and 2 years above 70%, so that's encouraging. Why do you guys think potentially he'll be a good CFL quarterback?
Well, certainly the thing you just said, he's got a very high completion percentage. He has a high touchdown to interception, very high touchdowns, very low interceptions. He's got some mobility and certainly been successful, in his college career, right? Like, this is a guy who started a lot of football games. It's a thing I always like when I'm evaluating quarterbacks is, have these guys played a lot of games? Matt Nichols was a 3-year starter at Eastern Washington, broke almost every passing record. Sometimes we get a guy, well, he started for 9 games his senior year. They just haven't been through enough games. So you certainly want a guy who's played a lot of games, and he's done that.
Coach, back to the passing. I know it sounds strange, but I think about goaltenders in hockey. You adjust from the big ice in Europe and coming back. How much of an adjustment is the big field, I guess, in some of the angles you're using when you're throwing as a quarterback?
Yeah, certainly the quarterbacks really have to understand the width of the field. And I think when they get up here, they're like, oh, my God, the field hitch turns into a 35 to 45 yard throw. So they have to, every year you'll see a young quarterback gets an opportunity, throws the ball to the field late, and all of a sudden it's a pick six. So they kind of have to understand the width of the field, the depth of the end zones, and how defenses are going to try to attack you.
With Red Blacks head coach Paul Lapolis, there's still quite a few games to go in this season, Coach, and we'll see what happens as far as wins and losses and the playoff chase, etc. Would it be your goal, though, regardless of where you're at in terms of that stuff, to get him into some games? He's here, he's got a 3-year deal, so he's here for 2 more years to make sure he gets some game experience this season?
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about that right now. I'm just concerned to, trying to get a win this week and, we have another young quarterback that can be on the roster that we can start to look at and develop. That's part of the process more than all of a sudden playing the guy.
He certainly looks like, the off-field stuff, like a lot of fun. Like, he'd be a guy that players would gravitate toward. Do you have any thoughts on in terms of that, just the duck calling and that part of the persona? As to whether, that in terms of team bonding, team building, et cetera, can be a real positive thing?
Yeah, I don't know too much about his personal background and on the duck calling and stuff, but, I do know part of the leadership of a quarterback is his players got to believe in him, his players got to relate to him, And players have to, you know, have to believe in that person. So, but part of that process is, being comfortable with everybody on the team.
Coach, how nice is it just for Marcel and I guess yourself, but just to get some new bodies in and just some fresh looks and create a little competition?
Well, you know, it's from an injury standpoint. So a lot of these, because of the 7-day quarantine for everybody coming up, you know, these decisions were made even before the BC game because we had a bunch of guys who were injured, and certain even practice squad guys who could have bumped up to the roster got injured. So that's kind of how we had to get some guys into the building and make sure we had, you know, enough depth because we've got a lot of guys that are on even 6-game injured or the 1-game injured that, if we had one more injury, we wouldn't have somebody to be able to, you know, replace a starter. So that's kind of what this process has been. So it's been good to get some people up.
I'm going to get a little technical on you, but is the quarantine portion for 7 days based on players that are not vaxxed, or is it just anyone come from the U.S.?
It's a U.S., people coming up from the U.S.
All right. You brought in the players you signed or were announced at least last Monday. A vast majority of them are receivers, including one with a lot of CFL experience in Kenny Stafford. What are your hopes for what he can bring to the table for the Red Blacks?
Well, just to have an understanding of, you know, most CFL teams run similar concepts, and having somebody who probably knows, probably half the concepts, just has to hear the terminology again. Kenny actually did a training camp with me a couple of years ago, so he's familiar with some aspects of the system. Just somebody who understands the waggle, understands the sit in the zone and man, and, you know, besides a young person who's never, you know, who's never been in the Canadian Football League, they got to figure out the waggle, they got to figure out what concepts, you know, are and everything. So, you know, that gives you a more veteran guy.
All right. So the other kind of name player, in terms of name familiarity for people, those that watch the NFL and are maybe Cowboys fans, would be Terrence Williams, the receiver, who also came up 6 years in the NFL, coach. And I'll ask the same question we asked about you made about Duck Hodges and just a different game from a quarterback's point of view. What challenges does Williams face in terms of learning the game from a receiver's point of view?
Well, certainly understanding CFL concepts, first of all, understanding how to motion and move up here. It's a little different for receivers. How to use the waggle and attack the line of scrimmage will be something he has to start getting used to. And then just seeing the coverage pictures, how they're different up here than the U.S. So, yes, with him and a couple other guys we just brought in, we'll just start educating him about the game.
You had a chance to sit back, watch some games, and I'm sure Friday watching Calgary. Hamilton beats them 23-17. Thoughts on what you'll see on Wednesday, Coach?
Offensively, all three phases are as physical a team as you'll face. I think they do a really good job playing the game physical. They're very well coached. They prevent defensively. They'll play a number of different things, and offensively, you know, they find a way to win. They find a way to do things from a run game standpoint. And you know, they did a really good job last week, being able to run the football and stay in the game. And defensively, they were able to take over the game. So, they're a talented unit. We got to play our best game.
The good news is that the Western Division is kind of keeping you guys in it in the Eastern Division at 1-4. You're only about a game and a half out of a potential playoff position. Do you take any encouragement from that at all?
You know, as we tell our players, we just got to go win a game, and all that stuff takes care of itself. So let's go out and play a good game, and play a three-phase game, play well offensively, defensively, special teams, and put ourselves in position to win this week. And then the records take care of itself. Nobody's really established themselves in the East.
Are you starting to see maybe a little cleaner football and teams starting to hit their rhythm, Coach, after getting some reps in?
I think all teams this year have had the scoring seems to be down in some ways. And, I think if we're not first, we're one of the fewest penalized teams in the CFL. So I don't know if there's too many more penalties because everybody's had the year off or anything, but I do know it is interesting when some of the new guys come up, put it that way. Like, we had a couple of guys who've come up who haven't played. It's one thing if you've taken some time off. Some of these guys haven't played in 2 years, so they're not in the game shape they think they should be. So that's where we've got to get those guys in.
Coach, I wanted to end with this. You're probably familiar with the story from the weekend with the University of Ottawa GG's player, Francis Perron, who passed away shortly after their game against the U of T on Saturday. Won't you, ask you to comment specifically on that. But just, you know, we hear so much about how football is all about family and how close football teams are. Can you kind of take us into what it might be like for a football team to lose a player like the GGs have done?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you lose a member of your family, it's going to be difficult for the people and the people involved and trying to, and just sort out missing somebody so young. And it was something I had to go through in 2011 as the head coach of the Bombers that, our assistant head coach and defensive line coach, died in the building. I had suffered a heart attack, and it just kind of destroyed our guys for two straight days. We had to play a game two days later, and anytime you lose somebody, football is a great game, with a lot of great relationships, and that's why you get so many people who want to continue to play this game. And so anytime relationships like that are formed, it's really difficult. So I'll reach out to Marcel Belfay when I get the opportunity this week and give our condolences as an organization to their loss.
All right. Well said. Appreciate your time, Coach. Best of luck in the game on Saturday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. There goes, and that would be Wednesday, not Saturday. I've lost track. Mm-hmm. I always think about football on the weekend.
Yeah.
Our thanks to Paul Appelese for joining us.